Audience in the nation, I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and that's the intro to the show. I don't know what else to say. I might need to come up with something else, because it's a new era, obviously. People wonder what's going to happen with the show. All we can tell you right now is the show goes on. That's all we can tell you right now. How long will the show go on? That's probably more up to you than it is up to us. We don't tolerate sponsors here at Bob Enyart Live, but at least not commercial sponsors, because they're beneath us. But if you want the show to go on, and if you've ever considered helping the ministry of Bob Enyart Live, now would be a great time to do that. I believe you can just go on to kgov.com, and there is a technical mechanism by which you could actually transfer money from your bank account into Bob Enyart Live's bank account right there on your computer. It's amazing. I think you could even do it on your phone while you're sitting in your car. I think. So if you ever wanted to help, we could use your help. But the show goes on in the spirit of Bob Enyart. I told you I couldn't get to everything yesterday. I would probably have to come back, and I had to come back. And did I say that I'm Doug McBurney and I'm not Bob Enyart? I think that should be obvious by now to everyone listening. I want to go back to the Westword article. Because it is this one article is pretty much just like every other article that was published upon the passage of Bob Enyart from the surly bonds of earth into eternity in heaven with the Lord. All of the articles that were published are fairly represented, I think, by this Westword article. Although I will give Westword credit for being a little less vicious than everyone else. And I'm not sure why that is. But it is. The article is a little less vicious than the others. But it does display all the classic characteristics of modern day urinalism that we all despise. We love the people at Westword enough to warn them that if they don't repent from their sins, they're going straight to hell with jet rockets. We love them enough to warn them of that. And we love them enough to fairly criticize their urinalism. By the way, we want to thank Westword and just about every other article that was published. They published some of the milestones and some of the highlights from Bob Enyart's ministry. And the reason they published them was because they don't like them, and they wanted to point them out because they don't like them. And what they did was they glorified the ministry of Bob Enyart Live unintentionally, by accident, because they couldn't help themselves. Because even reporters, modern-day journalists, even sometimes stumble backwards into reporting the facts. And there's one thing about Bob Enyart's life that cannot be denied, and that's the facts of his life. They're right out there. And so the news media was forced to basically give a highlight reel of Bob Enyart's career. Westword mentions that they wrote an article about Bob back in 1999 when Bob purchased O.J. Simpson's memorabilia for $25,000 just to set it ablaze, which we did. And I want to thank news media outlets around the world, by the way, for republishing one of the best pictures that was ever taken of me. In the reportage of Bob Enyart's passing from this fallen earth into eternity forever with Jesus, the news media included a picture of me because Bob Enyart was gracious enough to allow me to participate in some of the highlights of his career, one of which was burning O.J. Simpson's memorabilia on the steps of the L.A. County Courthouse, surrounded by cameras and all of the news media on earth. Which, how could you ever imagine a way to do something good and all of the media would want to be there to report on it? How could that ever happen? How could you decide, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. I want to make the whole world stop and consider the truth of God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. And I want all of the media who hate God and they hate Jesus Christ, I want them all to surround me and turn cameras on me to the point where the police have to keep them back. So how do you do that? Well, Bob did it. He made the whole world look and stop and think about the truth of God and Jesus Christ and the Bible. And all of the leftist media atheists who hated him, they had to be held back by the police so that they wouldn't absolutely mob us, because I was there. He let me be there. And I want to thank the Associated Press and all of the media outlets who included my picture holding O.J. Simpson's Hall of Fame induction certificate in the air as it was, Westward points out, as it was set ablaze. One of the best pictures in the history of media, I think, because I was in it. But it was a very good picture, and I want to thank everyone who included it in the reportage, also because I look very young and thin and all of that. But thank you, Westward, for pointing out that Bob Enyart set O.J. Simpson's memorabilia ablaze. See, a story like this comes out, and Westward mentions, they make little snippy comments after listing each one of Bob's highlights, like the fact that he traveled to New Zealand to greet the President of the United States with a Clinton rapist banner. And then in parentheses, they say something about it that's snide. Let me put it that way. But what they don't realize is that in reporting these facts, some people are going to read them and they're going to wonder, what is that about? That sounds kind of crazy. Let me dig into that. And there are some people who are going to dig a little deeper and they're going to read an article about what actually happened, and they're going to perhaps be confronted with a very persuasive argument to consider the truth. And so Westward, unwittingly, snidely, will point some people to Jesus Christ by simply reporting the facts of Bob's life, no matter how they want to report them. Report them any way you like. Doesn't matter, because the facts are the facts, Jack, and they stand. So they also point out that, I mentioned it yesterday, the interchange between Bob Enyart and Larry Flint and all of that. And I don't know what Victoria Jackson is doing today, but I do remember it was very interesting to see a righteous man washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, an imperfect man, but a righteous man washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, on stage, confronting one of the most evil people in the history of the world, Larry Flint, responsible for the death and destruction, I would guess, of as many people as any evil dictator on the planet in all of history. Larry Flint is responsible for at least as much death and destruction as Hitler or Mao or pick any dictator who terrorized the 20th century or any of the 19 before that. Pick any one of them. Larry Flint was responsible through the dissemination of pornography, was responsible for as much death and destruction as any one of those. And Bob Enyart had the courage to stand up and confront him. And God blessed that interchange by having there a woman. Women being the primary victims of Larry Flint's evil. And we've got to let Victoria Jackson know. We got to figure out how to get a hold of her. Because I had forgotten about that until I'm looking at this article right now. See what I told you, Westward? No matter how you decide to report this, no matter how snide you decide to be, it doesn't matter. Because a fact is a fact. And Bob Enyart left scattered across the pages of history an enormous number of facts from which not everyone will be able to turn away, and by which some will find the truth. They pointed out in the Westword article that Bob appeared on a network television show about a half dozen times. I'm not going to mention the show because I don't like the guy. I don't like to give him any press. But Bob graciously allowed me to stand in for him on a real live nationwide network TV show that was extraordinarily popular in 1999. And Bob was gracious enough to let me stand in because, unfortunately, he was in jail. I believe he was in jail for refusing to apologize to the state of Colorado for something or other, for some righteous act that he had done for which he was being persecuted, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not mistaken. I remember. Bob would have done the show, but he was in jail. And so he allowed me to go and do the show. And anyway, all I can remember about that show is I can't remember any of the celebrities that were on because they're relatively unimportant. Pretty small people. But what I do remember is there is a certain atmosphere when a nationwide popular broadcast is being recorded and there's an audience. There's a live audience right there that you can almost reach out and touch. And when you get into a studio, a television studio, it's a lot smaller than you think. That's the one thing I remember. It's a lot smaller. I can't believe how small this is. It looks big on TV. And then all of the people that you meet, these celebrities who are so famous, when you meet them, they're really small looking and they have makeup all over their face. And it's just weird. But the one thing I remember about doing that show is that at some point, the subject of child killing came up. And I can't remember the context. I think the show is still available. I think if you Google Doug McBurney and the name of the show, should I give the name of the show? Yes. So no matter how you report it, a fact is a fact. Google Doug McBurney, Bill Maher, Politically Incorrect. And you may be able to still watch it on YouTube. I know you were a few years ago. But before that, I think my mom had the only surviving videotape of that show that I mailed to her. If you Google it, you may or may not be able to see it. But at some point, the topic of child killing came up. And the host made a comment implying that women who killed their children were somehow happy about it, or he might have implied not that they were happy about it, but that it just wasn't that big of a deal. I can't remember exactly what he said because he's a relatively small person of relatively harmful influence, actually, over the arc of his career. But he left the audience with the implication that abortion just wasn't that big of a deal, and in fact, women felt liberated and happy about it. And I objected to that, and I told the host that, you know, the babies that are being killed, they go to God, but the women and the fathers who've killed their children, they become murderers. And I remember for just a brief moment that you could hear a pin drop in that studio. And if I'm not mistaken, because I'm thinking through this right now, and you know, our memories are not that great, at least not mine. If I remember now, it was Bill Maher's smart aleck retort to my comment that he made that was the implication that, hey, abortion's just not that big of a deal, women are liberate. It was that retort that he made to me, after which he expected the audience to clap or laugh or something. He expected the audience to acknowledge his insinuation, and for just a moment, everything was completely silent. And you could see it on his face, on the host's face, that, well, that's not what he expected to hear, not complete silence. Anyway, I want to thank Bob for that opportunity because that would have never happened had Bob just gone along and decided to apologize to the state of Colorado like they wanted him to, and instead he chose to go to jail. And I think he was in jail for, a month and a half. It was a long time. It was a long stretch, as they say, for people who've been to jail. So I came into the studio, and I just started looking around Bob's desk. So Bob's desk has always been covered with all kinds of things because he's constantly reading, constantly thinking, constantly talking about what he's reading and thinking and about what he cares about. So Bob loaned me a book at the beginning of the pandemic. Well, not at the beginning of the pandemic. I borrowed this book from Bob in the early days of the currently fashionable hysteria that Bob refused to go along with and when he opened the doors of Denver Bible Church in defiance of the state of Colorado and their tyrannical mandates and all of that that's going on. Bob loaned me a book called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. I highly recommend it. The writer is extremely talented. Charles McKay. The book was written in 1840, 1860, I think, 1840-something, before the Civil War, before the American Civil War. A book that will help you better understand that what we're going through right now is actually pretty much the state of all of human existence for almost all of human history. Hysteria, fear, mistrust, tyranny, oppression. That's pretty much all of human history, except for what we all experience for a relatively short period of time here in America and Western Europe to a certain degree for a relatively brief period of time. This book will help you understand that. And it looks to me like Bob may have been thumbing through it again. Quite possibly. Well, how do I know that? Well, because there's a bookmark, which is actually a receipt from the Paisano Deli, New York, New York. In July of 2016. I hope Bob got this to his accountant and was able to write this meal off. I don't know. Now it's a bookmark. He may have never have written this off. We may have to get in touch with Bob's accountant to amend his 2016 tax return. Because so he may have been thumbing through this book again. Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. I highly recommend it. Bob was good enough to loan it to me. I brought it back to him, and here it is in the studio. And then people were always sending Bob books. Why? Because people cared what Bob Enyart thought about their book. That's why. Had I ever written a book, the very first person whose opinion I would want about my book would be Bob Enyart. And so people were always sending Bob books, and as I sit here on the desk, there's a book that was sent to Bob, and it is unopened. Why? Because Bob didn't have time to read all the books that people sent him. If you've ever sent Bob a book and he was unable to give you a review, it's just because he had too many books. He didn't have time to go through all the books. Well, someone named Matthew Kelly sent Bob a book. Do we know Matthew Kelly at all? I'm asking everyone in the studio here. We've never heard of Matthew Kelly. We're sure that he's a wonderful person. And we thank him for sending the book to Bob Enyart Live. The book is called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity by New York Times bestselling author Matthew Kelly. Okay, so the book is here. It's not open. Bob didn't open it. He didn't get a chance to read it. There's a letter from Matthew. He tells Bob, hey, I send this book out a few a month to a handful of people I've never met, and I hope it fills you with a new and contagious hope. Matthew Kelly writes to Bob, the world needs changing. We are called as Christians to change the world. And if we don't change the world, it won't change, at least not for the better. What does the world need? Matthew Kelly asks in his letter to Bob that accompanied his book. And then he answers it, and I'm not going to read that answer because I'm not sure I agree with it yet until I read the book. But I'm going to read this book because it happened to be here and I happened to come into the studio, and now I feel an obligation to Matthew having used it as material on the show. I will read his book, and I will tell you if his answer to what we need to change the world for the better is right or wrong. And I will not tell you that just based upon my opinion. I will tell you if Matthew Kelly is right or wrong based on how whatever Matthew Kelly says lines up with what Jesus Christ said and what the prophets said and what Moses said and what Paul said and all of that. That's what I will use as a yardstick to review Matthew Kelly's book, which, by the way, is called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. It's quite a title. Kind of makes you want to open it up and find out what's going on there. So I will check it out. Did I finish with the Westward article? Westward, oh yeah, Larry Flint and Victoria Jackson. This is something that was in every article, by the way, that was published about my best friend, Bob Enyart. No matter what Fred Williams says, Bob Enyart was my best friend. Fred Williams says he was his best friend. Anyway. And me and Fred are pretty good friends, so we can argue about that. All of the articles that were published upon Bob Enyart's departure from here on to eternity with the Lord forever, every article mentioned that Bob Enyart read the obituaries of AIDS sufferers while cranking Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. And almost every article mentions that Bob even played it when Freddie Mercury himself succumbed to AIDS and died. And so they all reported this without any context. Like, why was he doing this? Well, do we have to explain it? Actually, we do. So they think it's because Bob hated homosexuals. That's why they think he did that. But that's not why he did that. Bob Enyart played Queen's Another One Bites the Dust while reading the obituaries of homosexuals who had recently died of AIDS. Number one, because Bob loved homosexuals and he wanted them to repent and find Jesus Christ. And so he wanted to get their attention. And quite often, an effective way to get someone's attention is to shock them. It's quite often. It's not always necessary. But when you're trying to reach someone who you'll probably never talk to again, and you've only got about 10 seconds to get their attention, like when you're doing a TV show that some homo might click past by accident, and you've only got his attention for a few seconds, sometimes it's effective to shock them, because that'll make them stop. And so Bob Enyart played Queen's Another One Bites the Dust on the air while reading obituaries, because at the time, in the mid-1990s, there was a full court press by the leftist media to imply that AIDS was not a disease of gay men. AIDS was just a disease like any other disease. And so Bob Enyart combated that effort, which was a coordinated effort by all of the media and all of the government and all of the leftists and all of the celebrities, an effort to deny that AIDS was a gay disease that was killing gay people. They wanted that to not be obvious. And so Bob Enyart showed that it was a gay disease and that was killing gay men by reporting on all the gay men that were dying of AIDS. That's how. And how did he make you look at it and think about it? Well, because he played Another One Bites the Dust. Who can pass that up when you hear that and you see what this guy is doing? You're forced to stop and look. And Bob was good at that. He was good at forcing people to stop and look and think about it. About what's true and what's right and what's wrong. And is what you're hearing in the media true? Are you being lied to? Are you lying to yourself? Bob was good at making people stop and think about that. Let's see. What else? Is there anything else? Oh, here we go. Westward reports that in August 2021, there was a passage on kgov.com. Thank you for the plug, Westward. KGov.com that stated Bob and Cheryl Enyart have sworn off taking the vaccines because the firms who developed the vaccines admit that they tested them on the cells of aborted babies. And then Westward goes on to say, well, we at Westward, in our wisdom, we called the Colorado Department of Public Health. And a spokesperson there said that, quote, none of the currently authorized and approved COVID-19 vaccines contain human cells or tissue, unquote. That's what the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, that's what they said to Westward. By the way, that's not what Bob Enyart ever said. Bob Enyart never said that the vaccines contain any cells because Bob Enyart was familiar with science and he was aware that you can't inject cells into people and there's no cells in vaccines. So Bob Enyart would have never implied that he wouldn't take the vaccines because there was aborted fetal cells in the vaccines. That's not what he said. Bob Enyart would not take the vaccine, even though Bob Enyart, I believe Bob Enyart knew that the vaccines could probably save his life. I believe he knew that. Or he knew that was a possibility that the vaccines could save his life. I believe he knew that. He didn't take the vaccines because they were tested and developed using the body parts of murdered innocent human beings, the same innocent human beings for whom he had advocated for 30 years. So he didn't take the vaccine because he had principles. It wasn't because he thought there were cells in the... Yeah, no. So, all right, so anyway, we do appreciate Westward and all of the other media who reported. We do appreciate them reporting the facts. In fact, Westward, to the extent that they even went on, after publishing the obviously fake statement from the Colorado Department of Health and Environment, which, by the way, Westward, just a note, as urinalists, and I've never even been to urinalism school, but if someone gives me a fake fact that I'm able to fact check right there and determine to be fake, I don't include that in the article. That's all. I don't know why Westward decided to include the Colorado Department of Public Health's fake statement about there's no cells in any of this. And then they go on to the Westward reports that, by the way, the Colorado Department of Public Health, they did point us to their frequently asked questions website that admits that, quote, some human cell lines were used in the production of the vaccines. These cell lines originally came from fetal tissue. And then they go on and on and on. But in fact, we'll probably have more on that. We have some counterparts who are working on just basically exposing some of the fake facts and fake news and just all the fakery surrounding the reportage on the passing of Bob Enyart from here on to eternity forever with the Lord. So we'll have more on that. We'll have more on that as we go forward. Thank you very much, Westward. Okay, and so do I have... I'm almost out of time, as often happens, because this goes by so quickly. I want to give you... Well, I guess I want to say goodbye, because now I hear the music. So apparently the show is about over. So I want to thank Bob for letting me sit in so graciously, so many times over the years... And I want to remind you to do right and risk the consequences.